Yes. It's
Okay.
8:30 a.m., April 17, Bayfield, Colorado, at Bertha Groves' house. We're doing an oral history with Bertha for Dr. Ellis, Fort Lewis College.
And you added that you can write it down where you want it, Nancy.
Today's the 18th, sorry.
Okay, Bertha, can you tell us about the... Right, but what happens from the time of the birth of a baby girl until she's a grandmother, and what that entails?
The whole life story.
I know.
I know. Of a woman, you know, like that. Well, you know, we'll go through it briefly in that way, you know, so that we can get it now, because that's a whole thing by itself, you know. Every subject is a big story, or whatever you call it, you know, all by itself, you know. Like, well, in the, you know, what I remember way back there, what I've seen too, when my mother had my sisters and brothers, you know, they didn't have no hospitals, and they had these, I guess they delivered their own babies, you know. I know my grandmother and my aunts were, you know, women just learned how to, like when little girls, you know, we watched, you know, or we were there helping, you know, bring hot water, bring this and do this, you know. But they used to, when a woman was having a baby, they had this pole in a birthing, where they had the, you know, probably in the teepee they held onto, they had a pole in there where the woman could, you didn't lay down, they didn't lay down like you do in mm-hmm. hospitals. They, you know, they hang on to that, pole. They squatted, you know, like that, And that's the way, and then that, when they are having a hard time, one of the, whoever's attending them would put them around, put the arm around them.
Were they women? Mm-hmm. Other women?
Kind of help them, yeah. You know, push pressure on them, you know, so the baby would come out, you know. That's the way it did, and they had and it was real hot in there. They kept their fire going, you know. It was just really hot. They kept it. They didn't have it cold. It was real warm, real hot. I remember that. You know, it was really hot in there, you know, like that. And that's the way they gave birth. Was that? And then when they did, you know, they wrapped it up in a buckskin. You know, deer hide soft, something soft that's been made, or rabbit skin, rabbit fur, you know, like that, wrapped it up. And that's way back there before diapers, disposable diapers, you know.
Yes.
What they did was then they, you know, the red earth paint, they have that red earth paint, they put that on them too after they washed them, they paint, put that on them, you know. Like,
paint the baby.
From the baby, you know, like that. See, after they cut that, and when they cut that cord, they saved that cord. They didn't throw it away, or they didn't, you know, they kept it. They kept that cord because it was part of the baby's life. And sometimes what they did was they saved it, and they made a bag for it, and they beadwork and whatever the designs or was meant to be for the protection of the baby, and they hang it on the cradle, you know. They had this cradle. They didn't just wrap them up and leave them like that. They had this cradle already made too for them, you know. First they had this just a plain cradle basket. It looked like basket in that.
Oh, that came over the head.
And they had it made out of cowhide or some kind of hide, you know, they laced up like that, and they put them in there, you know. And that's the way they kept the baby safe, you know, from the cold and stuff, you know, from being injured or something. But it, later on, they'd make, if it was a boy and a girl, see, they didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl, but they'd guess it at some time, you know, they'd have a way of telling if it's going to be a boy or a girl. And then they made those big cradle ports with a board backing on it, you know, with that same thing. Yellow was for girls. They painted the cradle board yellow if it was a girl. They left it white, painted white, was for the boys.
How did they know, Bertha?
Huh?
How did they know?
What?
If it was a girl or a boy.
They had a way of knowing, I guess. But if they didn't know, then they just waited till it was born. Then used a smaller, you know, just that little one, because it's small yet, you know. And they make this little small cradle just out of the hide where it just didn't have that big board around it then.
Yeah.
It was just a, you know, just a part where you put it with then something to
wrap
it
up.
So the back would be straight too. And then later on, they made those for them then, you know. And they put a lot of work to it, bead work, or put a lot of thoughts and prayers into it, you know, when they did those things. And then later on, when their baby was growing, or sometimes, or some of them even earlier, you know, they used to put that cord, take it up in the hills and find an ant hill. And they dig the top part and put it in the ant hill, you know, talk to the ants. That was because if you wanted the baby to be industrious, not lazy, you know,
oh,
be hard worker, you know, like that. And I,
yes.
I did that with my children, you know, like that. You know.
Did you put
I
it in an ant hill?
I put it up in the ant hill. So that, you know, that's what they told me, you know, to do, you know, old people. And then the women, at that time, You didn't drink cold water. And when after birth you didn't drink cold water, you drank warm water, so that you know, so you wouldn't get that the blood would, you know, all drained out, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that you didn't eat meat and no fat. You know, that was for 30 days. The whole month for the mountain, for the till the next setting of the moon, you know, like that, you know, from wherever it was, you know, to that same time again.
Mm-hmm.
And you stayed indoors, you didn't go out, and you didn't scratch your head like this, you know, like that. That's saying, if you did, that your hair would fall out. You know? So they gave you a twig or a stick, you know, a small stick that you scratched your head with, you know, combed your hair with. You didn't touch your. And you didn't touch your face either. You know, you used a rag to wipe your hand with the wipe, but you never touch your hand to that. That's to keep your face from getting them blotches or spots on your face, you know, and they get
mm-hmm.
that. So your face would become, you know, clear all the time like that. Even through your pregnancy, you didn't do that. You've seen people with the, well, they call them liver spots now, don't
mm-hmm.
they? So that you didn't have that. And if you did get liver spots, or you know, through your pregnancy, what they used to get rid of it is the newborn's bowel movement. They used that and they smeared it on there.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Smeared it on there like that. Rubber.
And it made it go away.
And it went away. That's what they used.
You
know, there's a lot of things that the Indians did that, you know, used to hang and things like that. But that's what they worked, you know, for a lot of people. And see what else the woman's role was, that you kept busy too, you know, like you maybe they gave you beadwork to do, but you didn't beadwork when you're pregnant. That was another thing you didn't sew, because they say that when you did that, you would kind of, the cord would tangle up on the baby.
Yes.
You know, that was
mm-hmm.
the way they believed, you know, like that, you know, you call it superstitious now, but that's what they're believing. And after your baby was born, then they make you do those things, you know, you'd beadwork, you'd be working on something in there, you know, like that. They kept you busy, you know, keep busy. And that's because you wouldn't be lazy. They said, if you can tell a woman if they're lazy, if they all they did was sleep after their, well, in the after their birth, you know, they didn't do nothing, you know, they have a tendency not to do nothing, you know, like that. They So that's why they kept you busy. I know, you know. That's the way. I know the first child I had, that's the way you're supposed to do it. And that's the way my uncle's wife, she's still living, you know, Molly Klaus. She was the one that brought me back from the hospital. And that's the way they kept me in the house and didn't give me nothing to eat, you know. No, I had a lot of boiled eggs.
Really?
Not a boiled egg, boiled potatoes, you know. Things that was boiled, nothing fat. And warm water, coffee, well, hot tea, you know, like that. But you couldn't drink
days.
No cold water, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't scratch, you couldn't go out, and couldn't do anything. And like that, you know, that's for your own protection. Maybe.
It's
probably good because I'm still in good health, you know, like that,
yes.
You know.
When was your baby born, your first baby?
Well, the first one I ever had was the oldest one, is 1941.
Oh.
And I was only about 17 years old, I guess, then, and 16 around that age. Mm-hmm. So he's 50 years old now.
Yeah.
So that you can guess at my age, say, oh, she's 67 then. I could be, next month, I'm going to be 68.
Oh,
I can't believe it. You know, I said, two more years. I said, I'll be 70 years old. And wow, you know, I can't wait for that. You know, can't hardly wait to be 70. I'm just like a young child now and say, you know, I can't wait to be old enough to do what I want to do. You know how they are. But then that was the general thing, you know, that when they went through the birth and then they took care of their baby like that, you know, well, they breastfed him naturally, you know, like that, at that time. And like I said, you know, way back there they used the cattails, you know, they gathered a lot of that, and then the cedar bark, you know. The reason why they had that cradle was that you didn't have to change the baby except when it went to bomb movement or something like that.
Yeah.
Was they had that little opening there where the race stopped, you know, but they'd always left that little opening so the boys could just pee out, you know.
Right out the cradle,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Do his thing.
You know, and, but the girls, they couldn't do that, so they put a lot of that.
The down part from the
cattail? Down
tail?
Part, you know, they put that in there, you know, put those, that's what they use. Or the cedar bark, they're real fine, you know, like make it real fine.
Did the women make the cradle boards?
The women made the cradle boards. Or their, usually it was the grandmother or an aunt or somebody, you know. And if it was a girl, what they did too when it's born, they made that prayer for us, you know. So the elderly woman or the grandmother or the great-grandmother or some elderly people, they made a prayer for that little girl or little boy, whoever it was, you know, be man for the old man or the father or the grandfather for the boy, you know. For the girl it was a woman, for the man, for the boy it was a man that did it, and they made a prayer offering to the four directions, you know, like that, to the grandfathers. And you had to hold it up, you know, and say, here, present it to the creation, that here's a new spirit, new being that came into the world, and for the creation, for the four, you know, the four directions is the grandfathers and grandmothers, you know, like that, and spirits of the Mother Earth, grandmother in the mountains, you know, we call them, they're all part of this world, and them, and they offer that child to them and say, here's, you know, you're recognized, to be recognized, you know, like introduction to the creation, you know, like that, was something they introduced to the creation, and that's how the and then they never gave it a name yet, you know, unless somebody, like I said, you know, something that, for that,
like
know, child was. Like that, you know, somebody had a vision or had a dream or something like that, you know, they named that child that way. They waited for these things, you know, to appear, or if there was something that happened that day, that was the child's name, that be that name. Maybe the first thing that the mother seen, or maybe somebody noticed something unusual, you know, it wasn't an ordinary thing, it was something unusual. Maybe a hawk flew over, or maybe, you know, a butterfly or something, you know, like that came in to where they're having that teepee, you know, like that. But they're having that bird or something unusual, you know, people noticed that that was a guardian spirit for that child. Like that guardian spirit for that child is the wolf, some white wolf. So that, so, and that was the first part of it. And then later on, well, when they grew up, you know, they mostly it was the way they handled the child, you know. I know from my own childhood, you know, like I said, you know, a long time ago, it was a custom to, for families that had, you know, to give a child to the grandparents or a child to, you know, to the aunt, of course, something like that. You know, they, that's the way they raised the children. And I was one of those, I was the child that was given to my grandparents, and I was raised by my grandparents. I was raised by my mother and my father, you know, I was raised by my grandparents. And it's, maybe it was supposed to be that way, you know, and to be who I am and what I am today, you know. That's, that was the part of it, I guess, you know, like that. The foundation of what I, how I'm supposed to be, you know, like that. Because my grandfather was a medicine man or shaman, you know, like that, whatever you call him, you know, healer, you know, and he was a sun dance chief and a bear dance part of the leader, you know, like that, and he kind of person. So I was more attached and more attached to my grandfather than I was to my grandmother, you know. But he did, they both taught me a lot of life. It was their grandparents that mostly that took, way back there it was like that, see, it was the grandparents that took the reason of the child, like grandparents of the children, disciplining the children or taking care of the children. And if it wasn't that, then it was the uncles took over the, a certain, like you said, that, what is that time when they get into their
puberty. Yes, when the girl becomes
and
a woman.
And the girl was given to an aunt or to the grandmother or like that. Mm-hmm. They take over the baby, you know, but, and then the boy was to the uncle or the grandfather like that. And they taught him all the facts of life, I guess, and how to do things to be, what you had to learn to in order to survive then, you know, way back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like tanning hides, drying meat, gathering of roots and herbs and knowing, you know, some of the reason why some of the things were passed on down was some of the older elder people, you know, they were had the teachings of the herbs, you know, and they passed that on to whoever they're, you know, whoever they're raising like that. And that's the way the knowledge of certain things was passed down. And
Were you able to pass these things to your children?
I have a granddaughter, my second son's daughter. I taught her some of the herbs, you know, when I had that. I got a grant from the Arts and Humanity, or whatever you call it, from Denver, you know. 1 year I got that grant, and I worked with her as a apprentice, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
So I taught her some of the things, you know. Most of the things I do is, what I do is, like what I was telling you, you know, I pass on the knowledge to different ones, you know, I just don't have certain ones, you know. But I have a lot of people out there, different nationalities, that I've taught certain things, and I said, and then from there on, you, because some people come and say, I want to learn, but I, when they say, I want to be like you, oh no, no, don't say that, you know. You don't know what kind of, what life experiences of I had to be able to be me, you know. You have your own experiences, but I'll tell you, I'll set you on the road, and then you, whatever experiences and learning you do, that's yours then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't give you mine, because it's like going to school, going to college, training and all that, you know. And then it takes years and years of it, you know, and then life experiences and suffering and all this kind of stuff that you learn the wisdom. And I said, I can't give it to you in like that, you know, because you have to live it in order to understand it, you know. So that's the way the girls were doing, they were raised like that. And then I guess from there they went into way back there, so what I'm talking about now is way back there, and they had that kind of training, because you didn't have to go to school, but that was schooling of life, you know, what they were going through, you know, like that. And they learned how to dance, you know, the powwows or something like that. And, you know, like powwow dances now, they have But even then, those dances, round dances, lame dances, they all had a meaning to them. They were kind of like ceremony dances. They weren't like the way it is, you know. But they had meanings for certain times, certain days, certain seasons. They had this kind of dance. And they were taught the etiquette of how to be like that, you know. How to be a girl, how a girl and a woman's supposed to be, you know, like that. And especially when they were getting married, they were... The way they got them married in those old days was they put up a teepee. Now, they put up a teepee and closed all the flaps up and built fire and then closed everything around them, put them in there, you know. And it got smoky real, they put the smoky kind that makes smoke wood in there, you know, and it got real smoky in there. If they both didn't run out, that meant that they'll be together for a long time, that they're not going to get angry or upset too much, you know, because of the... But if the girl run out, that means that she'll have quick temper or something. And it's always be, you know, if the boy run out like that, you know. And then it's another story again there, you know, that means that, you know, they couldn't take it, you know, like that. Because you know how it is when you're married, you can get on each other's nerves or something. And that was the testing of them, you know. And that's the way they did, you know. But that was just part of the testing. But then they had their you know, like their celebration or whatever, ceremonies for some of the, you know, like putting a blanket on, one blanket on them. That's where they got the idea of splitting the blanket when they separated. You know, cut the blanket they have.
Oh,
you know. They put a blanket around the two of them, you know, joined hands, and they make prayer for them, you know. People gave them gifts or like that, you know, to get them started on the new life, you know. That's way back then. Now, I'm still talking about way back then. You know, kind of going briefly through it, you know, like that. But they were, so that's why the girl was taught to, so they would, when she got married, she would know how to cook over the open fire, how to tan hides and all this, you know, the things that you have to learn how to make moss and clothing and all like that. And then from then it went back around again to Sharon again, see. But then when they began to be a grandmother, it was their turn to, just a cycle of life, you know, we call it the cycle of life. Then you were the grandmother again, you know. Then it was your turn to raise your grandchildren, take care of your grandchildren. So that's the way it went. Then when you got real old, then you, if you were just a grandmother and not be an elder, you know, like that, or you'd be an elderly person, you know, that certain people just went through life like that, you know, but there, some of the women turn out to be herbalists, you know, and some of them got to be medicine women and healers, you know, and, you know, different things like that, you know, that's just the way they were raised, you know, the way they, their dreams or visions or however, you know, they went into that. And nobody ever did anything unless you had a vision or unless you had a dream, unless it was passed on to you for the elder, another elder could tell you, you know, choose you to be the apprentice for that, or you wanted to be, and they always knew who they could teach, you know, like that, and they asked you, you could turn them down if you wanted to, if you wanted to learn that way, so you went through the apprenticeship like that. So that's the way it went, you know, and from then on, whatever life they had as the elder, they could be storytellers, or they could be teachers of basket making, or tatting hides, or beadwork, or quill work, or whatever gifts they had, you know, they could be a teacher too, you know, teach him, or they could be a teacher or be a counselor for couples or something like that, for people that's having problems, emotional problems, or mental problems. You could do that too, be a counselor, you know.
Did the storytellers tell stories about how it was and pass on the history to them?
Yeah, they tell the stories of legends of, you know, legends, the stories of the, that's the way the Indians, they didn't have no writing except what they did. The main parts was made on hides, you know, they drew those, but some of them are not sticks, you know, but ears, what they represented, you know, like that. But most of the stories that or legends or histories have been told was from one generation to generation like that. It was like that. we didn't have tape recorders.
Is it still that way, Bertha?
Let's go back and then we'll come to that. Okay. So that's just generalizing, you know. When it came to that, they had, when it was your moon time, they had a ceremony, but that first, when the moon time came, there was a little shelter out there, a little camp out there away from the other camp. It was like in Old Testament times. Remember how the Jews used to do that? They had out of the encampment. They went out of the encampment for so many days, and when they came back, they had purification rites, like that. But that's what they did in Indians, did the same thing. They had their little, moon camps out there, I guess you call it, like that. And that's where the girls stayed, or the women stayed, But they kept busy too. They did sewing and whatever they were supposed to do out there, They kept them busy. They cooked their own food out there, until they got through with their moon, like that. And maybe people that had marriage troubles didn't want to get back. They'd pretend they were still having another moon or something like that, so they could stay away from their husbands or something. And maybe those, there was things like that happened, They didn't want to go back, maybe they had an abusive husband or something that made them work hard or something. And they'd try to stay out there and wonder how come that, or they pretend they had another moon or something like that, and they just to get away, I guess. They used that too, but wasn't always like that, but it was, there's some, how human beings are sometimes, you find escape for it like that, I guess. But anyway, that's where they learned. And they didn't, drink cold water, you didn't drink cold water, you didn't eat meat when you're on your moon. We still do that. I mean, I don't anymore, but anyway. And a lot of the young women, they still do that, young girls and their mothers, but a lot of them, they just don't do that anymore.
So, was it a time of, I've heard a lot about the moon time being a time of visioning and power for the women?
Yeah, that's what, that's one of the things that, where that came from, I don't know, but it's different tribes, all different tribes that I know of, different tribes don't do that. That's when you're taboo. You don't touch the food, you don't go to ceremonies, you stay away from ceremonies, you don't go to sweat lodges, you don't go to anything, you don't touch the food that the man or anything, you stay away from the man. If you're married, like nowadays, you're supposed to sleep separately. You don't sleep with the man. Where that idea come from, it's another culture. But a lot of our Indian tribes, it's taboo when you're a woman. It's like that. It's just like the Old Testament times, way back there. They used to say that if you know your good book, always say, way back there, even then, they said that even the angels feared to tread among that time. That's how powerful that is, and that's where they get the idea of that they're powerful beings then, or powerful then, but it isn't. It isn't that you're taboo if the, just that. You just right. Don't do nothing. I mean, you're kind of like outcast right then, but yes. Like that, But where a lot of people say they are powerful in a way. It's a lot of people have, a lot of women have used it to use it as a power of men. But then that's why they left it alone, because they could be evil. A bad influence on many things, like that, because a lot of women have used it that way, But even me, when I was growing up, my grandfather would tell me, don't touch anything, don't do anything, because don't do that, We don't handle sacred objects or sacred ceremony and stuff, you know, stay away from them. Don't do those things. You know, don't do that. They say.
Because.
Huh?
Because you're taboo at that time, or.
Huh?
Because it's taboo. You are taboo.
Yeah, because
at that
you
time?
Are. Uh-huh, because of what's happening within you is that the life thing that you women have in your womb. It's been cleaned out, you know, and that's maybe you would say it's a waste material that's coming out or something like that, you know, that's not you're cleaning yourself, and that's cleansing period for you like that over there, you know. That's the way I was told. It's a part of you. It's cleaning. It's a cleaning process, and it's a waste material. So you know, it's blood is life, they call it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Blood is life, and it's real powerful and precious, and how you deal with it, you know, that's why they didn't want to deal with it like that. And a lot of tribes are like that. Not a lot of tribes.